Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, on your knees, oh, hear the angels call.
After the hour of 11 in this, the month of November, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. God bless us, everyone. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It is Monday after Thanksgiving, and welcome to Day 12. How are y'all? It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to, you can also email it rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, really? Have you isolated that?
Oh, no!
Thank you. There you go.
Attention, Target shoppers.
Oh, my God. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Can you drop the Dream Theater for a second?
Attention Target shoppers, we did. Do we have it?
Oh, no!
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Good times.
I think it has to happen.
I think we found our new Connie Chung sound. The Oh Holy Night is the new thank you. Oh, God. Good times. I love Christmas. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you. You can also email with your comments and clarifications and conventions and so forth. It's, the hell is it? It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. That's what it is, by God. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I'm sorry, I got to turn my phone off. Somebody's calling me. And it doesn't want to be, well, what a face that. In any event, thank you all for coming by. It's Monday. We are rejoined today by lovely and talented Sarah Stillman. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
All right. So I said, see if I can access this. Let me make sure my phone is turned off here. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Silent. I saved a couple text messages. Let's see. What's the one that I got? Let's see here. This was a text message. I got this from Nate. And this was, I don't know, this would have been like Wednesday or so. Let's see, he says, this is from 1:15 on, whatever, was you fly out on Wednesday or Tuesday?
Wednesday.
Sarah has done 8 shots in an hour and a half. She just dumped a bottle of vodka into some lemonade. She will remember nothing.
I remember nothing.
And then I got, you remember nothing! And then I got a voicemail message from you on, like, Wednesday night or Thursday.
I saw that I called you. That was after we were in Madison.
You called me many times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
Lara.
No, it's fine. No, she's gone.
Okay.
Lara gone, long time. So, yeah, she's in Orem. Doesn't matter. So I got a lot of messages for, and I tried to retrieve them. But the production room was set up all weird here. I couldn't figure out how to get into my cell phone.
I was just so happy to be on land after that flight.
Your message was loud.
I'm in Wisconsin, but I don't know how I got here. All I remember is getting on the plane in Portland. Now I'm on a farm. Woo!
That was a bad, bad day. I learned the hard way. Do not mix. don't mix, like whatever they give you. Do not be afraid of flying with many cocktails.
Would that be Xanax?
No, I can't remember what it was. I think it begins with an L.
Loratab?
No,
Lorazepam?
Maybe.
Listerine?
I dumped them all out, so there are no more.
Oh, you baby, you gotta keep
those. Seriously, I don't remember the flight. I guess I was a terror. I don't know. I just want it to go away.
Lorazepam.
Anyway, it cured my fear of flying. I no longer have a fear of flying because since I don't remember the flight there, I don't care anymore.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where's my... It's not Chris. It's Aaron. Let me welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
Love me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No! Official stenographer of the Rick Emerson program, Aaron Geek in the city. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Hey, how was the coast?
Fantastic.
Excellent. All right.
That was great.
So from now on, you are doing the 11 o'clock update, and then Mailman Chris is doing the 3?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what's going to work.
All right. Excellent. All right. Here's what we got today. We will talk about Sarah Dillon returning from the land of the Amish. Brittany is...
so many Amish people. I have much to tell about that.
You missed a lot of meat.
This is all, man. You don't even. Oh,
poor
that's
Tim.
Right. You don't even know. Oh, we got to do that. A little bit of a Thanksgiving recap because
yeah.
Who knows who was listening? Hold on, I forgot to do that. Thanksgiving recap. This is the quote that Sarah gave me this morning. I walked in. The Amish are kleptos, and then below that, I ate an entire pound of cheese curds by myself. There you go. So good time.
Oh, wow, so did I.
Oh my God, cheese curds are heaven. They're so good.
We took that Tillamook Cheese Factory tour on Saturday.
Do you know how to tell if a cheese curd is good, Aaron?
No.
If they squeak when you eat them.
Oh!
No, seriously.
It's just like a baby.
No, they have to make a squeaking noise. That's how you can tell.
Yeah, it's just like a mouse. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think cheese is supposed to make noise.
Oh, but it doesn't. It's delicious.
I think if your cheese is squeaking... you might be eating a poplar or something. All right.
Tons of millions of bacteria screaming in pain as they get swallowed.
As though a million bacteria cried out and were suddenly silenced.
Yeah.
All right, so Sarah dishes dirt on the Amish. We will recap Thanksgiving. Brittany is back and slut-tastic. Peter Carlin will join us to, I don't know, whine about the the collapsing state of American culture or something. That's about 1:30. Lisa Goddard will join us and try to deny her hidden love for me. Your help is needed in punishing a member of the, well, not a member of the Rick Emerson audience, but this is the thing I meant to get you last week.
You still
didn't
get to the punishing the brother?
No, because Thursday and Friday, the thing about doing the Thanksgiving shows is that on the one hand, the shows are always great.
They're pure Americana.
They really are. The shows are always great, but never for any. But they're so different than all of the other shows. They are. Our Thanksgiving shows are like, they're sort of one-off episodes, because you can't really do any of your regular business on Thursday and Friday. And there is part of Ian Gordon calls this the Bitmiser syndrome, where you'll have something that you think is interesting that you want to talk about. And so, on the one hand, you'd think that you'd want to break that out on the day when, you know, maybe things are a little low-key. But on the other hand, you don't want to do it on Thanksgiving, because you know there's like five people listening. And don't get me wrong, we're glad to have them there. The people
they're all in the building, for the most part.
And George and Wilsonville. And so the people who listen on holidays are real they're hardcore listeners. They're P1s. They are the most faithful of the fanatical. But on the other hand, you know that a lot of people are just out of town. They got family crap. And so you've got some great stuff, but it's like you almost don't want to use it on a day. I don't want to say waste, but you don't want to use it on a day when maybe, you know, you don't have the size audience you typically would. So we didn't get to it, because we hadn't gotten to it by Wednesday, and then it just became pointless. And plus, everybody on Thanksgiving was too busy being either drunk or then sick from the turkey burger cake.
Or a little bit of both.
Oh, man. And I...
get to everything on Thursday, though.
We didn't even get to the pie. There was that whole almost a whole pie left after the end of the program. Because
did you take it home with you, Rick?
No, I did not. I sent it with Kristen. She was going to a party, and I'm like, and mailman Chris had brought it. And we had some, and I'm just like, you got to take the rest, because I'm by myself at the house. And truthfully speaking, I'm not a big fan of pumpkin pie anyway, but I'm just by myself at the house, and what I can't do is just be alone in the house with a whole pie, because then I'm just going to eat the whole pie, and then I'm going to have to kill myself out of shame. You don't even want to know how badly I've been eating. You don't even want to know. And it's not even that it's a holiday. It's just that Lara's gone, and so any regulator, any governor on my intake of food is just gone. So
the mac and cheese went down today. Went down over the weekend.
What's that?
How many boxes of mac and cheese did you consume?
Four.
Oh,
you don't even. That's not even the half of it. The problem is they sell the macaroni and cheese just a couple hours away from those Pepperidge Farm cookies. Oh, those are so tasty. I can eat an entire box of those in like 15 minutes. Anyway, that was a great noise, by the way. Fantastic.
This is coming from a man who had a mayonnaise martini over the weekend.
Yeah, what was that text message about? Hold on, I got this. Speaking
of exactly what it sounds like.
Hold on, speaking of text messages, I got this from Aaron over the weekend. This says, where did it go? Aaron, geek, 1:08 a.m. Just drank a mayonnaise. This is what your text message says. This is the 26th, which is what? I guess Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning, 1:08 to be precise, from Aaron Geek. Just drank mayonnaise martini, period. It was martini, period. It was fantastic, 3 exclamation marks. What is a mayonnaise martini?
I'm not quite sure. The other Aaron, the Vanished Twin, made it. I think it involves, mayonnaise. And
I don't understand. How can a martini have mayonnaise in it and still be a liquid?
Because you add the spicy vodka. You kind of make it like a Bloody Mary, but instead of tomato juice, it's mayonnaise.
Okay, but that's
a mantini.
A mantini.
wait, mantini.
Is it mantini what the Jawas are always saying and start mantini?
That's poutini.
Sorry. So I don't understand. You can't stir mayonnaise though. It would just glob up.
No, you can stir it. You just have to whip it good.
You have to blend it. All right, welcome to the pre-lunch hour, by the way. Well, you'll have to come by and make a mayonnaise martini, because I almost want to try that.
After we drank it, we changed the name. They're now called Holy Marys, because it's the White Mary.
All right. Okay. Anywho, let's see. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to punish a guy. We'll do a Thanksgiving recap, and there you go. I'll play the Week in Geek. Oh, I guess I can't. I guess that's not...
over all weekend.
Yeah, it's not really possible, because I don't really have it, so...
I'll get it to you tonight. You'd ever play it on a Monday anyway.
No, I really wouldn't have gotten to it. There's no business fooling anybody. All right, so there you go. Oh, and we'll play this hundreds of times. Oh, no! There you go.
What the hell is that?
It's the best song you've ever heard. It's Oh Holy Night. So there you go. We'll play that later on.
We got Dylan Returns. There are Dylan Returns. A Thanksgiving recap. The Amish are Dirty Thieves.
Yes.
Freddie Spears. Lisa Goddard. Punisher Brother. And Maybe Peter Carlin.
Maybe Peter Carlin, but I only give like half credit on that.
Don't even count that. I mean, if you get to it, it's a bonus taken off.
Yeah.
But if you don't, it's a wash.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, and just for no readily apparent, I don't have any story. There's no follow-up. There really is just a headline in it, but that's enough. Footage has surfaced of Michael Kramer dressed in blackface. That's all. There's no story. There's really no follow-up. It's just that. Right there.
Okay.
So there you go. All right. Aaron Geek in the city. What? How many push-ups am I at?
You're down to 58.
Fantastic. Boom. Yeah. So we'll blah, 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 at 3 o'clock with Mailman Chris.
Boop.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Oh, by the way, you weren't in on the fuel show on Saturday. Because you were at the coast. That's right.
Yeah, that was the show that Scott was supposed to hold off on so that Filmview Radio could show up as a team, but apparently Sun was not a team player.
No, but I got to tell you, man, I was in this weekend to do a little tweaking on the computer to fix a few things. I got to tell you, as bad as this, and look, you know, I love those guys, but as bad as this room normally smells at like 3:07, I got to tell you, man, you get like Matt Peterson, Ian Gordon, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Scott Daly, Kirk Myers. There's like five guys in here just sweating and chewing tobacco for 2 hours on a Saturday.
Oh.
It's like walking into a rendering plant. You don't even want to know.
It's like some old fraternity joke.
Really? It reeks of vomit and stool.
So you're saying I dodged a bullet on this one?
What's that?
So you're saying I kind of dodged...
Really, it's true. One. And I don't even know where they would have put you. I mean, those are all big guys. Scott's like 100 feet tall, and some of those guys are... They're men of size. So I don't even know where you would have fit in the studio.
Matt and I would have had to have sat in a couple studios.
And spooned.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Mayonnaise martini. Excellent. All right, there you go. Blah, blah, blah. Sarah Dillon, who we already introduced, she's back and looking fantastic. Tim Riley is also looking fantastic. What stories are we working on today, Tim?
Is it snowing where you are?
It snowed in both mine and Scotty J's neighborhood today, and it was extremely slippery.
Scotty J came in at 9:15 this morning, which is like an hour before he normally does. I'm like, you're here early. I had to dig myself. I was afraid I'd get snowed in.
The TV was scaring us all.
I don't understand.
Saying the suburbs were being inundated with ice and there were cars overturned.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me because you don't live... I mean, it's not like you live in a different region. You just live, it's just a suburb. It's not like you live at a higher elevation or something.
No.
It doesn't make any sense that it would snow in the suburbs and not here.
It's snowing in Bremerton, too. There's like 5-6 inches.
I suppose, but I guess that's far enough away that it could be a different... Like, the climate could be different. Mm. It doesn't make any sense that it would only snow in Beaverton. Yeah, it's probably man-made. You guys probably... That probably comes with the Homeowners Association membership. You get a white Christmas, too.
That could be.
All right.
Also, a Vancouver family is found after getting lost looking for a Christmas tree. A Gresham man is beaten to death with a beer bottle. And 300 baby octopuses.
Or is it octopi?
Octopi.
Octopi.
Are hatched at the Oregon Aquarium. 3,000 of them.
Are hatched?
Yeah.
Hatched, like out of eggs?
Apparently so, yes.
Octopi don't come out of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
I think we're in for a major octopi discussion today on the program.
They don't know, like chickens.
They come out of eggs, Rick.
Okay.
At least these did.
Okay.
Fine. Eggs.
I'm willing to accept it.
These might be Oregon octopi.
We can move on now. All right. Apparently the Amish are dirty thieves. This will undoubtedly be sprinkled throughout the day. Well, we might as well do a little Thanksgiving recap here, since we're all here. And then we'll talk more about the Amish later. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Ed McCarthy will be here to talk about a made-up... This is fabricated. I'm telling you right now, fabricated news. Because Friday was Black Friday. Today is... Let's see how far it's spread. Who knows what today is, Tim?
Red Monday?
Yes. Arm yourselves immediately! It's Red Monday. Is your wife a fellow traveler? No, today is Cyber Monday, which is a made-up thing.
Oh, that's like Kwanzaa Tuesday.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And Jesus. It's just made up. No, today's Cyber Monday.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. It's a made up. I never heard it before this year. It's just goddamn fabricated. Where they're claiming that everybody is... The only thing correct about their story is their supposition that everybody is just sitting at work when they're supposed to be working and they're just shopping online. That's probably true, but it's probably true all the time.
But especially between all the holidays, at least until February, nobody's doing anything anywhere.
I'm not buying anything for anybody anyway. It doesn't matter to me. I was talking to Patrick Rochelle about this weekend, that it just... I, over the years, I've just... my family has just gotten used to the fact that I don't buy anybody anything. You know what I mean? It's like they've just stopped care. I've gradually ramped down their expectations. For the first couple of years, they acted hurt and surprised. And then eventually, they just got used to it. And now nobody expects anything from me for Christmas. It's fantastic.
Well, everybody gets the same Christmas card from me every year until the box runs out.
It's just, it's not that I'm opposed to Christmas.
Everyone loves Christmas.
I just don't buy stuff for people because I never know what to buy. And it's like, what's the point? I mean, there's just no, I don't want to start a whole Christmas gift monologue or whatever, but it's just, I never know what to buy anybody. I never even got Sarah her birthday present. I mean,
you got half of it. I'm waiting for the other half forever.
Do you want half of it?
Sure.
I never got the second half. Well, it's in my office. I'll give it to you in the next break.
Okay.
I'll give it to you in the next
segment. Are you giving me my porn bag back?
He'll forget.
No, I do have your porn as well. If I keep that long enough, maybe you'll forget that I have it, and then it'll be like a present.
It would have been nice if she could have brought it on vacation.
Those are farm people. They don't have sex. For the Amish.
That's not what Garrison Keillor says.
Those small towns are full of scandal.
Really?
Yeah.
They're all a Peyton Place.
It's
You're
going
to blow the lid off of a small New England town. you know, Peyton Place is out of print, that book.
No.
Out of print long time. For such a cultural milestone, you can't buy that book anymore new. You have to find it like in a used bookstore. And Grace Matulius, dead. No one knows what I'm talking about. The point is, Ed McCarthy will be here at the bottom of the hour to talk about Cyber Monday, which is some made-up crap.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. Let's talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. So here's what happened on Thanksgiving. We want to thank, by the way, Kristen Bowie, who was here. Who did a fantastic job running the show. And so on Wednesday...
But not as good as you.
No, of course not. No, there's really only one son. I don't even remember what happened on Wednesday.
A lot of people came in here with food, grossed me out, and I stayed outside the studio for most of the
program. Poor Tim.
I think that was Thursday, though.
Tim must have wanted... How was the burger cake?
There was even grease on...
Oh, gross!
I had to take it into the restroom and scrub it off.
Oh. See, I don't like meat in, like, this big, lumped patty form.
I mean, even God's creatures were just slimed all over my seat.
So here's one Thanksgiving. So Aaron, Geek in the City, Clyde Lewis, Kristen from Accounting, Mailman Chris, I mean, a cast of thousands. Everybody kind of came by, and Clyde came by. He has created this food called burger cake, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay, how did he do the buns? That's what I'm really curious about. Did he buy it in a giant oversized bun?
It's a huge, ciabatta bread. It's like a huge round loaf of bread. It really is not as gross as you might think. It really is pretty great.
Well, I don't know. Don't speak for everyone.
If you're a vegan, perhaps not. And it turns out Kristen's a vegetarian. She didn't eat anything with a face, and so it really was just me. But it was
actually... Oh, that's why she stayed outside the room.
It was not actually that the burger cake was bad. I mean, burger cake is, and I've stood by this, I mean this sincerely, it's a great idea. For example, like a regular cheeseburger cake, you could totally market that to suburban parents for like their kids' soccer team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Happy birthday, have a giant burger cake, and then like your regular cake on the side. Kids would totally be into that, or like a bowling league.
Maybe it was on a warming plate so you don't have like cold meat.
Yeah, I mean, you'd heat it or you'd put it in one of those pizza bags that keeps it warm. But, I mean, like some idiot guy's bowling league, here you go, it's a burger cake. I mean, that would totally appeal to guys.
So how did it taste?
It didn't taste all that great to me, but that's not a reflection on Clyde. It's that this was not the regular burger cake. This was Thanksgiving burger cake, and so it had, like, cranberries and walnuts in it.
Ew.
It was for the children.
It really was for the children. I like it in theory. I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving food, though, as you know, and so it was just, it left me a little cold. But the worst part was that Tim's news desk
was covered with grease.
And the Tina Yother's celebrity chair were covered in bits of hamburger and grease.
Oh, man.
And so Tim would...
I accidentally touched the counter once.
The best moment was when Tim came in on Thursdays, and from the city desk, Vladimir Putin, oh, God, I'm covered in grease. I touched the counter. It was sort of like when you touch... I don't know, it's like you touch nuclear waste or something by mistake, and suddenly you've got to isolate your hand and give it a chemical bath.
Oh.
And so Tim literally was doing the news on Thursday. He's like, well, it looks like, you know, that Russian spy who, oh, no, I've touched the counter, I've got to leave. And then he just, like, bolted out of the room, gave himself a good scrubbing in the bathroom. And then I don't remember what the hell happened on Friday, but everybody was drunk on Thursday because there were 3 bottles of wine, somebody had a 6-pack of beer, and then Aaron brought his Romulan ale, which is made out of Everclear.
Everclear the liquor?
No, ground up bits of Art Alexakis. It's made out of Art Alexakis' tears.
But I don't,
tears,
a
Art
lager
Alexakis.
Made out of liquor, my friend.
Yeah, it was. It has Everclear. Something blue. A Viso Will.
Oh, gross.
And what is that? What is that other blue liquid?
Currian.
Currant?
I don't know.
Currant?
The Koran?
It's made out of bits of the Koran. And Art Alexakis.
Your sweet succulent tears. they taste like wine, aren't Alex Nakas?
Oh, then we're talking about Moxie.
Oh, did you bring Moxie?
I found three bottles. I drank one at home and brought in two. But we need a can opener. It's in the refrigerator.
Sarah has missed the whole... See, you leave for even a day. You missed the whole Moxie discussion. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy about that. I bet he knows about that. Well, we got to continue this. Let me quickly get Benjamin in the mighty Southeast. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. How can I help you today?
Hey, just real quickly. So it's Visa Will, Lou Curacao.
Curacao.
Curacao, yeah, which I always thought was Curacao, but I never knew how to pronounce it.
Okay.
Because I live in the Southeast and I'm ignorant.
Of course.
But I stepped outside for a cigarette, and it's actually snowing.
It is the Southeast. I was outside to smoke, Rick, and it is snowing in Southeast?
I don't smoke in my house, so yeah, giant white fluffy flakes.
I'm on my bike today. About
where in Southeast?
Just about 122nd and Holgate area-ish.
Well, maybe it's not snowing where we live.
Who knows? The real important question is it snowing in Beaverton?
Yeah, it's always apparently snowing there, and things are covered in taffy.
So, hey, I wanted to ask you to put that Romulan Ale recipe and the approximate quantities up on your site, because I'd love to make that.
Check out geekinthecity.com. I think Aaron's going to post it there.
Well, he's got it up there?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out now.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no! All right, back after this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. More on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Just a moment. We'll talk to our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, who is lurking somewhere in the South. Later on, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. Clyde Lewis coming up at 12:30 with news at Ground Zero, the AM 970 Noon News Hour, and so forth. We're also welcoming back to the Rick Emerson Show Sarah Dillon, who spent... So you now, is there a picture of you firing a shotgun?
We took some video. It was so much fun. I started with like a smaller gun, and then...
Have you ever fired a gun before?
Never fired a gun before. I was so scared. So I was carrying a shotgun, feeling like I'm going to shoot my foot off.
Now, whose idea was this? Was it Nate? Baby, you get drunk and fire a weapon.
No, there was no drinking. No, he has a trap shoot, like... We went trap shooting, so he has this contraption in his field. They have a whole bunch of land,
right?
And so he has all these this clay pigeons.
Clay pigeons, right?
They stick into this thing. You pull this chain, and they go sailing out. Yep. So I started with this little teeny gun, and then after about 40 rounds, I upgraded to this to this 20 gauge Smith & Wesson shotgun.
Yeah,
it was so awesome.
Fantastic.
So after a little bit, I finally got the hang of it, and I was like destroying like every pigeon that was flying out. It was really cool.
Now, are you and Nate doing competitive shooting?
We were going against each other. It's basically who shot first. So he was letting me shoot first a lot, and I was just like demolishing those things.
Excellent.
And his dad actually said that he's never seen anyone do so good on their first time.
Excellent. Was the unheated barn actually unheated? Was it a barn? Where was it you were sleeping?
We stayed in a farmhouse. Which is, their barn is long gone. I don't know, something happened, it collapsed or caught on fire or something. So they used to have a barn. Now he lives in a farmhouse, so only the downstairs is heated. So it's like, and his dad works like 10, you know, like straight, like 7 days a week for 10 months out of the year, and then takes 2 months off to go hunting.
Is he a farm guy? Is that what he does? Is that what he does
for a living?
That's
what they used to do. He drives truck, and I know he also works on the farm. But it was...
Yeah, there's Wisconsin Novembers are not.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah, and you told me that there was taxidermy crap like everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So in his living room, I counted them. There were 7 heads, full-on buck heads mounted in the room, 12 antlers, and 2 full quail, like all around everywhere. They're all looking at you.
Excellent. Well, you go there like Wisconsin in that November. You see why people in that part of the world just drink constantly all the time, because it's just so cold.
Man, and they have really good beer there, too.
Yeah, well, see, but any place like that, any place where you got to spend... like 4 months just inside, because if you walk outside, your skin starts to freeze and fall off. It's the same thing when I went to Fargo. I mean, I've told this story a billion times. Going to Fargo and just a liquor store the size of a house. I mean, because all people do in that place is drink.
You could buy liquor. They had this store called Pomida, which is like Walmart. So you know how like the purchases that you can get like a stick of gum or like some batteries yeah. like right next to the thing? There are huge handles of whiskey and vodka and everything. All of the liquors right at the front of the store, like right where it could be stolen for like $15.
Fantastic.
For like a half gallon of whiskey. It was ridiculous.
Excellent. We'll talk more about this. And we got to talk about the Amish and the so forth. This is a great quote. Rick, the Amish are all kleptos. Here's the other thing. You can't take a picture of them because they think it will take their soul away.
Yep.
Which I think you may... They're not Maasai tribesmen.
I'll tell you what I learned.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from the South. Our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
I am good. How are you today, Rick?
I'm rolling along.
Nice.
I'm dandy. How was your Thanksgiving weekend? You missed it. We talked to Ed's wife. The calf,
really?
Kathy, the calfmeister. What do you call her?
The calfmeister.
Yes, the calfmeister.
The calfmeister.
Kathy McCarthy?
Kathy McCarthy.
That's kind of hard to say.
It is kind of a great name, though. Kathy McCarthy, she really should have, like, a morning show somewhere. That's a great radio name.
It's funny. She has a morning show around here with me.
Yeah. I think it was on Thanksgiving that we talked to her, and you guys were in the kitchen just buckling down for the big Thanksgiving, for the roast beast and whatever. So, today we were talking about this. Today, I suspect that this whole Cyber Monday thing is just made up.
I forgot all about it till I walked into work today, and that's it. You know, it's every year. They always do this right after the Black Friday, and they are saying that, you know, oh, it's more popular than ever. And I guess, you know, people are trusting more and more the things they have to navigate to go through, and they feel that their security is much improved. So, you know. They say they're doing well.
How do you cover Cyber Monday? You basically just sit there at home and watch Amazon.com scroll by for a couple hours, then you just go to bed?
They had an event in Washington today, which was interesting. I guess it was the National Retail Federation or whatever, and they were inviting people to come in and shop online on their laptops, but they were providing lunch.
What they should really do is, because I read an article this morning that said that they try to make this... That they try to make this Cyber Monday thing, or whatever it is, the Monday after Thanksgiving, they're trying to make it a huge shopping day, but that sometimes in certain regions of the country, it really doesn't catch on. What they really ought to be doing is leveraging on the fact that no one wants to go to the store and be surrounded by idiots. They really ought to run a series. If I was Amazon.com, you pass this idea along, Amazon.com, eBay, whatever, they really ought to just run a whole series of television commercials just illustrating all of the idiots that you are surrounded by every time you try to go to the store and buy something at a physical location, that you are just surrounded by more morons everywhere you go.
I saw some video clip on one of the networks, and they were opening the doors, and they were racing in, and they were falling over each other, falling yeah. down and trampling each other.
Yeah, the very best thing was, this came out, I was like last Wednesday, last Thursday, something. It was footage of, I don't know if you were the one I told about this, or maybe it was Roop, a grown man who was weeping because he wasn't able to buy the DVD, the blue disc DVD, the Blu-ray DVD player of his choice. Grown man, 40 years old, my holiday's ruined! Which, I mean, really, the...
Yeah, you love to see those kind of guys.
The opportunity of seeing a guy like that actually break down and have some kind of mental collapse in the electronics aisle of a Walgreens, though, that really is motivation almost to get me to go to the store, just if I can see that guy lose it and, you know, take his own life in the parking lot.
And where is that guy when I'm covering these stories?
No, because all you get are the idiots that are afraid of the escalator.
Yes.
God almighty.
That's true. That escalator freaks him out.
And then there are, because there's the two things. There's if you go online, A, you don't have to go to the store, and then B, you don't have to go, you don't have to go stand in line at the post office. And we already on this show, Tim Riley and I, we've each had, you know, having to go to the post office, and you're always behind. It really is like God is deliberately finding the dumbest person in your neighborhood and putting them directly in front of you while you're in line at the post office. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, especially if you go to a little town post office.
Of course. Because there's always one guy there who decides to take his break, and right, you're 6 inches away from the counter, and suddenly that, you know, comes down that next window, please, sign.
So. Has that ever happened to you at a rental car counter?
No. No.
Where you're next in line and the person just puts the sign up and takes off?
No, the only place it happens is the post office and the DMV. That's it. Nowhere else. So.
Well, yeah, those are... The DMV is famous for that one.
Hey, let me ask you this. It's just completely off subject here. Are you a poker player by chance?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
I see.
Not a card player at all. Isn't that weird? I never got into it.
See, now, the perfect bit is going to be blown because I was going to drag Scotty J in here and have him lament... let me just tell you this. You might appreciate this, even though you are not a gambler. So, in fact, let's just...
Scotty J.
Hey, welcome, Scotty J.
I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please. Scotty J. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's
okay.
it going?
Here's the thing you've got to know about this, Ed, is that on Saturday night we had a poker game, and it was myself and then some other guys from the station and our good friend and program assistant here, Scotty J. And so we had gone to this game, and there was about eight of us sitting there. You might have maybe help me reconstruct this, Scotty. There's like eight of us sitting there, and we wanted to kind of get some food later on. And so as we're sitting down to the game, we had this agreement made that the first person who goes out at the poker game is going to be the one who has to leave and go for pizza. I sort of just make this flip remark that it's going to be Scotty. I got to tell you, man, this game, the poker game went on for about, I don't know, I would say for about 5 hours.
And the funny part is, with you saying that flip remark, for the rest of the night, I was just biting my tongue, trying to hold back not to say anything as your chips got lower.
Totally. How did it, so the game itself took about 5 hours for everybody to go out. How many minutes into the game would you say it took for you to be actually out, Scotty? Would you say it was even 10?
Oh, I thought maybe it was a half hour, 40 minutes.
No.
Sure felt like it.
No.
And the
best part is that you've driven like 45 minutes to be there.
I made it to the race of the next blind.
And here's the other thing. If you know poker players, Ed, you know that this is the thing. Every time they have a bad beat, every time they get schooled somehow, all you have for the rest of the night, for the rest of the week, the next time you see them, it's like it's an uninterrupted stream of pain. Self-reflection.
It's like a three-day hangover.
Seriously, I walk in this morning. I mean, this is 3 days ago now. I walk in this morning. First words out of Scotty J's mouth are not hello, good to see you, how was your weekend, happy Thanksgiving, what are we doing on the show today? I walk in today. I've been in the building half a second. It's Scotty J. I was right to go all in on those jacks. Just seething.
What did you lose, Scotty?
Oh,
it was only like $20, $30, something like that. It was really more the shame. The shame of going out like 5 minutes in and then nobody else went out. Nobody else got bumped out for like another 2 hours.
Yeah, and then it was like, did someone say they wanted a pizza?
Yeah, seriously. And really, there is no more satisfying feeling than when the guy, first of all, because if you're playing a poker game, the thing is you just don't want to be first out. That's the thing. You want to win, obviously, but the bigger thing is just not to be the first one bumped out of the tournament. Because nobody remembers who gets knocked out second. Nobody remembers who gets knocked out fifth. Everybody remembers who wins, and everybody remembers the first person to get kicked out. And there's no more satisfying feeling than that, A, not being you, and then B, as soon as that guy gets kicked out, just handing him the car keys and going, yeah, give me a large pepperoni. So there you go. So the next time you have a friend of yours as a poker player, you can recycle this anecdote for that. So
send him over to your place.
It's true. Hey, real quickly, it's not a huge deal, but what was this 92-year-old woman that got? She wasn't a drug dealer, right? It was just like a mistaken thing where the cops.
Yeah, found out that actually they've changed the age now. They say she was 88, which it's not a large difference, but. Apparently, there was some guy that was selling, according to the police, out of the house. And she was an elderly woman, and she was in a kind of a bad neighborhood, so I guess she kind of feared for her life. And she packed heat, and somebody with the door came in, and she didn't know they were cops. She just started firing. And she was killed, so they have a, civil rights inquiry. They've got all kinds of things going. Leaders calling for an investigation. It's kind of interesting.
Just a bad scene down there.
Yeah,
so.
that was kind of horrible.
All right. Hey, real quickly, did you know that they call Bob Costantini Noodles?
Yes, that one I forgot to tell you about.
All right. Just
to tell you about that. We have El Rupe and Noodles and Stretch. Those are the only three I could come up with.
And wait, and Stretch is who?
Stretch is John Lawrence.
I don't think we know who that is. I don't think we've ever talked to John Lawrence.
John is, every once in a while, you'll hear some of his stuff on the air, and he's one of our valued employees.
All right. Stretch, El Rupe, Special Ed, and Noodles.
There you go.
Really? So it really is everybody but Lisa Goddard at this point. So, and we're picking her last name anyway.
All right. We'll have to come up with a nickname.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ed McCarthy, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
There you go. Thank you. That is Ed McCarthy in Atlanta, Georgia. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. So that we don't get behind, let's do the Britney watch here. I'll just go ahead, and because I got this big pile of, and Tim's got all of this other stuff to get to, and the Britney thing is like changing faster than we can even track it. So let's roll the Britney watch now.
I think I did it again.
So I don't even understand. The Britney Spears and Paris Hilton thing. And you
so
and I were
weird.
Well, you and I were talking
about. And Lindsay
about
Lohan now, too.
The, Lindsay Lohan, oh, man. And I'm going to fix your little red wagon. I got the new Inquirer. And they've got. It was at the Chateau Marmont, I think. I think it was there. Where
I cannot believe that girl. I thought I would be gone for a few days and she'd be dead.
No, she is a cutter, right? Aren't there those photographs of her wrist being all cut up?
Yeah, and there are all these new pictures of her in, like, these European magazines. And you can see her arms. And even in those magazines, she's wearing a tacky bandage on her wrist. Like, she's wearing this, you know, $20,000 dress and, like, baubles on her other wrist, and then on this wrist is, like, a white bandage.
Do you suppose it's possible that Lindsay Lohan isn't a cutter, but she's just trying to get attention? She's just trying to be, like, a drama queen about it? Is she trying to be, like, look at
her,
me, I'm all troubled?
No, with her background, I mean, her father's in jail. Her mother obviously doesn't give a crap about her. She just kind of uses her daughter to be able to get in to hide, you know,
right.
At, you know, some nightclub at night. I think that she's messed up.
All right, well, it looks like...
And she tries to hide it.
From the photograph, it looks like the Chateau Marmont, but she apparently... we'll get to this later. We'll get to, like, in the 1 o'clock hour. The Lindsay Lohan apparently overdosed. So we'll get to that.
Shouldn't you start with Lindsay Lohan and then gradually build...
To Britney?
Because the last one was Britney, Paris, and Lindsay.
The last one what?
They were all hanging out last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then isn't it like a given that they all... And here's the thing.
That's what I found out about breaking into their MySpace pages, is that Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton have been friends this entire time.
And
it's all just... They're just like playing the media like puppets, and we all eat it up, and I hate it.
And I can't believe... First of all, see, now you've distracted me again, because have you seen that picture of Nicole Richie and her new breasts?
No.
There's Nicole Richie's got brand new, the baby's got a brand new rack.
Did she get some sisters put in?
Where's the photo? I don't have it in front of me. We'll find it later. I'll put it on my website. It was at the AMAs. In fact, I mean to ask Rupe about it the next time we talk to him. There's a picture of Nicole Richie, and I don't care how much you eat. You can't put on weight that fast. And the rest of us all still...
Maybe she got on the pill.
The birth control
pills? Birth control pills make you, with a lot of people, make your breasts grow like a size and a half within a week.
But not the... Really?
Mm-hmm.
But not the rest of you. Because she took out the little bird legs.
No.
The little stick legs. And then she looks like she's put together with pipe cleaners, but then it's like these huge two balloons.
No, because the pill tricks your body into thinking that you're already pregnant, so bam, you get some...
You don't start to, do you?
No.
You don't even know what I mean by that?
Yes, I probably do.
The lactating?
Yeah.
Do you, so if they just grow?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. All right, well, in any event, well, maybe she's on the pill, although that strikes... Well, whatever. Anyway, so there's a picture of her, of Nicole Richie, where she's got this... All of a sudden, she's got this huge rack going on for no reason. And the thing we were talking about is, before the program, I can't... I really am ashamed of myself that I now am at a point in my life where this whole Britney Spears thing has reduced me to being such a teenage girl that I now find myself worrying about and disapproving of the friends that Britney Spears has. Like, I'm all concerned now that she's running with a bad crowd. So I will just go through these in no particular order. I got three quick Britney stories here. Then we'll break and we'll come back with the noon news hour. Britney and Paris, this is from Playfuls.com. Britney and Paris have been inseparable since Britney split from hubby Kevin Federline. Moreover, their friendship is making fast progress, and the two have been sharing lots of time together. During one of her recent nights out, Britney Spears was seen wearing a green and very revealing dress, barely covering her ample bosom. You've seen that photograph, right?
In the green dress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like that Jennifer Lopez dress from a couple years ago.
But bad. It looks like it's tucked into her pantyhose.
And she's... And again... But she... It's one of those dresses like where her bosoms are actually so tightly cinched in there that it actually causes me a little bit of pain to look at it.
Yeah, it makes them look like they're deformed a little.
It really does. Bystanders gawked, apparently, as she threatened to spill out of the dress, which boasted a gaping neckline slashed to her waist. With their arms holding tight together, Paris, who is more decently dressed this time, and Britney took over their celebrity hangout, Hyde. Is that a club?
Yeah.
In Hollywood. By the time the two left the club, one of Paris's stockings was seen covering one of Britney's legs. So apparently they were exchanging clothing while they were in the club. An onlooker said, it was a shocking outfit. No one could take their eyes off of it for all the wrong reasons. It was more trailer trash than Pop Princess. Two times married Britney Spears has been borrowing a lot of Paris's fashion style as she was snapped a night before leaving the same club a night before in a white t-shirt, a black miniskirt, and a pair of Paris's trademark oversized sunglasses. While getting out of, and this is the part you were waiting for, while getting out of a cab in a black miniskirt, Britney Spears accidentally gave paparazzi a full view of her goods. Little before that, the Almost Single Spears had a wild girls' night out with Hilton at Tryst in Las Vegas. The pair got... This is their phrase, not mine. Brittany and Paris got... down and dirty on the dance floor to none other than Paris Hilton's songs. Brittany felt so uninhibited hanging with her new pal that she took off her pants and danced around the club in her fishnet stockings. Is there video of this?
There are pictures.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is like that thing of Paris.
Not as exciting as you'd think, though. She just looks like some crazy attention-hungry girl.
The thing about Paris is, Paris is like Tabasco. And no matter how good something tastes, no matter what the flavor is, if you add Tabasco to it, suddenly it ruins it because all you can taste is the Tabasco flavor. The problem with putting Paris in any photograph is that it just completely removes whatever arousal factor there might be. Any sort of arousal that I might find by looking at a photograph of Britney Spears, if you put Paris there, it's like some deep woods off for my libido. It's just completely gone. It's impossible for me to find it interesting. And I've got these other two quick Britney stories, and we'll take a break. Kevin Federline begs Britney Spears to take him back. What is with this guy?
She's going to. I'm starting to feel like she's going to.
Is it because he's complex and layered?
No,
because one day he's mean and the next day he's nice?
Well, she keeps getting so enraged whenever anybody makes fun of him, and she's willing to work with him on the fact that they don't have a sex tape. I think that she's going to take him back.
Well, that'll
she's
be
not
the,
bright. You, she is not bright.
Mark
We've
my
given
words.
Her more credit than she deserves.
Oh, no, she's deeply stupid. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody would ever accuse her of being smart. I would just think that at this point, she would have recruited a better handler. Here's the thing, because I was at this poker game this weekend, and it was a mixed-gender poker game. There were women there and men there, and this is the dumb thing about the stupid goddamn society we live in. And I'm not saying that I'm above it or better. It's just weird. We're sitting there. Grown adults, our own lives, some of us have got children, most of us are married, we have the mortgage payments, we have jobs, we have it, and we're sitting there at the poker game talking about Britney Spears. And we were having this whole discussion this weekend about whether or not she can ever make a comeback and whether or not she's irreparably damaged. And I was pointing out that she can absolutely make a comeback as long as she stays single. Because here's what America loves. America loves a wronged woman making a comeback. Whether or not, and you can argue that she wasn't really wrong because she was dumb enough to pick that idiot husband of hers in the first place. But like Jennifer Aniston, the image is, the sort of conventional wisdom is that she was the wronged party, Kevin Federline was an ass, and that she got the kind of short end of the stick there. And America loves to see scorned women sort of come back triumphantly at the expense of the ex. Reese Witherspoon is another example of that, where the entire country just decided that Ryan Phillippe was an ass, and that we've all aligned behind Reese Witherspoon. So it is with Britney Spears.
I feel bad for Britney Spears because I see this as if it's already happened. This little high school thing's going to happen where she's going to wear out her welcome with, like, you know, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. Her 15 minutes of fame are going to be up, and they're totally going to ditch her, and Britney's going to have some huge breakdown.
Probably.
It's going to happen.
Wannabe rapper Kevin Federline is begging wife Britney Spears to take him back, reports the National Enquirer. He's been following her like a lost puppy, hoping for a chance to plead his case. He's been leaving messages for her, but Britney hasn't called him back, says a source. Kevin flew to Miami as soon as he heard Britney was expected there to record a few tracks for her new record. He hoped to have a heart-to-heart talk and convince her to drop the divorce. But Britney didn't go to Miami. She instead flew to Vegas. She's keeping her distance. Kevin Federline is telling friends he's glad to be rid of the pop princess, but that's just face-saving bravado, say sources. When he's not with his pals, Kevin, 28, is apparently starting to panic. His solo career has... Did you hear what they're doing in Los Angeles? They were giving people tickets. They were standing on the street outside the House of Blues, giving away tickets for the Kevin Federline concert by telling people that they were for something else. They were trying to give... They were saying that it was for, like... You know, it was something, it was some other, you know, kind of B-level. It was like Johnny Lang or somebody, but like an actual musician. Like, sir, would you like tickets to the Johnny Lang show? And guys would come by, like, Johnny Lang, right on, ticket. And then they would get inside and realize that they were for the Kevin Federline show. And then people would just leave. People would come out, you said these for, you know, and then throw the tickets and leave.
Oh, man.
His solo career has flopped. He realizes he needs Britney's star power to live the good life. And then, see, this is the weird thing about this guy. So you've got two stories out on the same day. One, Kevin Federline begs Britney Spears to take him back. This is the second story. Failed rapper Kevin Federline plans to air Britney Spears' dirty laundry in a steamy tell-all book. Kevin Federline is rumored to be penning the book for a quick buck after Spears filed for divorce. Kevin Federline will reveal that pop princess Britney Spears regularly fantasized about women. and was desperate to share one with him.
That's not going to hurt her.
But it's not true. Here's how you know it's not true. At least not with this zero. Because if it was... I mean, why would Britney Spears just have to fantasize? There's got to be a list of women willing to sleep with her that's like 1,000 miles long. You know what I mean? Is a family source close to Federline said he was prepared to reveal everything in court. Britney told him more than once she is sexually attracted to women and men equally. She asked Kevin many times if they could have a threesome. That's how you know it's a bunch of crap. Why don't you have to ask more than once?
You know it's a lie, too, because it's like he's going to reveal that in court. He's not going to talk about how Britney wanted three ways in court.
And he said no.
That's so dumb.
Why would you ever reveal?
And besides the divorce proceedings, by the way, she wanted three ways.
Seriously. And if you were Kevin Federline, why would you, first of all, if Britney Spears asked you to strip some other woman while you're in bed with her, A, why would you say no? And B, even if it didn't happen, why would you reveal that it didn't happen? Kevin Federline is expected to claim that Britney is guilty of a string of mishaps involving Sean Preston. Sources will claim he will do whatever it takes to reveal the hidden dark side of Britney Spears. FedEx, as he is now known, wants to write about his soon-to-be ex-wife's lesbian encounters, reported use of cocaine and marijuana, and secret plastic surgeries. He's going to confirm that she had the breast implants when she was 16.
Who cares?
And everybody just assumes that it's true. He's also planning on making a laughingstock out of Britney by attacking her deepest vulnerabilities and exposing her insecurities about her weight, acne, and hair. Last week, in a written statement for lawyers, Kevin Federline revealed there was no Britney sex tape after months of rumors. It goes without saying, the lawyer said, that the stories of Kevin attempting to sell such a video are patently false. And anybody who reports that they have information of such attempts is either lying or reporting the lie of somebody else. So there you go.
There's the latest. To be updated throughout the day.
Well, then maybe she'll actually do something about her hair.
Now,
have you seen her extensions? They're so terrible.
It's like that picture of Lisa Welchel that you put up on your website, Blair. Really, if you haven't gone to Sarah's website, you got to see anybody who is my age and remembers watching Lisa Welchel as Blair on The Facts of Life when she was the hot one. Hot no more. She looks like, somebody put it best, she looks like one of those faces of Oregon meth use where it's like year one and then like year 10. She looks like about year 7 of that 10 years of methamphetamine use. Hair all stringy and coming out in clumps, cheeks all hollowed out, bunch of weird pockmarky sores all over her cheeks. She looks like the woman who's always in front of me at 7. Here's the thing about 7-Elevens and Safeway, and especially the Safeway in my neighborhood because it's right there in 39th and Powell. I would say about half the time when I go to Safeway, I am in line between some... There's nothing worse than being behind somebody, obviously tweaked-out meth head. They're always rail thin, sitting there vibrating and twitching in place, and then I'm always right behind the woman who's, like, peeling pieces of her face off.
Gross.
It's always like a whole bunch of scab picking right in front of me, and I'm sitting there with, like... You know, I'm sitting there with, like, my taco from the deli case, getting ready to eat, and there's some woman jabbing a fingernail, like, into her forehead. It's all kinds of bad.
When I was riding the bus home on Tuesday, I actually had to get off the bus because there was this crazy, like, meth head stink. He smelled worse than I've ever smelled. And so I'm downtown. I get the last seat on the bus. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. And I can feel this guy staring at me, so I kind of looked up and smiled. Big mistake. You're not supposed to make eye contact.
Never make eye contact.
No, then the guy proceeded to, like, yell at me throughout the entire thing, talking to me about Hawthorne, and everyone on the bus is looking at me, waiting to see my reaction. So I finally had to get off the bus. I didn't want to say anything, so I got off the bus at, like, 8. And then the bridge went up, so I had to wait for half an hour.
I have totally gotten off public transit because I didn't want to. And it's like there's some homeless guy.
And people are waiting. They're watching to see me snap. And so I'm like, I've just got to get off.
Have you ever noticed that when you're on a bus, the homeless guy always sits next to you and wants to be your friend? It's kind of like when you're in a bar and the loud drunk always comes and sits next to you. Mm. Always, always, always. Did you say the Amish guy smelled like a barn?
Yes, the Amish guy saw in the gas station. Yeah. And he was buying gas. It was really weird. But he had his buggy parked around the back.
Okay.
I saw so many... Oh, I took some pictures.
We have Amish stories to tell. We'll come back in a moment. We're 2 hours later on. Clyde Lewis, Lisa Goddard, and so forth. And a bunch of other stuff. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.